Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
If you were told Ireland was 101st in the world in soccer or rugby or any sport, would you think it was a good ranking, given that we have, 200 countries or so in the world? Well, maybe not. 101st in the world. That's the stellar performance of Ireland when it comes to our representation of women in politics. And new research among female electoral candidates says, despite the advent of gender quotas, barriers still exist, including the lack of maternity leave and online abuse. Catriona Gleeson is the new CEO of Women for Election, who commissioned this research, and she joins me now, as does Regina Doherty, Fine Gael Senator and leader of the Seanad. Avro, you're very welcome to the programme. I might start with you, Catriona, first of all, because 101st, it doesn't seem great, but how do you see our ranking in terms of women's participation in politics?
Well, it is as bad as it says in the tin, Connor, and I'm 20 years nearly working in the field of advancing gender equality in Ireland, and we have seen remarkable progress in Ireland, but this is a big stain on our reputation.
And why is it this bad then?
Well, because we simply don't have enough women in politics, and we don't have enough women elected to politics or retained in politics. So there's 22% TDs currently in our Dáil, and there's 25% women who are women, and there's 25% who are local councillors. And that's a very that means we have a significant overrepresentation of men making decisions for all of our lives.
That affect
on a
everyone.
Basis.
And yeah. You did this research, you interviewed a raft of candidates in the election in 2019 and 2020 in the run-up. Both people who were successful and people who were unsuccessful. Now, what did you find in that research? What were the obstacles women were facing as candidates?
I suppose, first of all, to say, Connor, women who ran and who we interviewed, and it wasn't every woman who ran we interviewed, but those that did talk to us, for all of them, it was a very positive in the overall experience of running for election, and they'd highly recommend women to come forward and go for it. But what they've also pointed to us is barriers that we may have known about previously, but that have consistently persisted to stay with us because we haven't addressed them, mm-hmm. and emerging barriers. So, you know, if we go back to 2009, there was a report commissioned by the Oireachtas in 2009 and showed us that there were core issues around cash, candidate selection, culture, and other areas to do with childcare in terms of barriers then. And now we're still seeing the same, but a lot more. So unfortunately, online abuse has become a more dominant experience for women. And we still don't have maternity leave for women in 2021.
Which
in
a way beggars belief. And we'll come back to that in just a second, I promise, Catriona. But can I turn to Regina Doherty, who's a political stalwart without doubt in this country now, both in combat in the Seanad and in the Dáil and on the airwaves as well. Regina Doherty, it doesn't seem enough to be able to get on the ticket. You have to have the backing of your party as well, don't you?
The Gwich Cormac, yeah, you really do. So what's really disappointing, and first of all, the report that Catriona and Women for Election have published today, I think is really, really welcome. What's mm-hmm. really disappointing is that the five C's that Ivana Bacic highlighted about 10 years ago, the list isn't diminishing. The list of barriers for women in politics is actually growing. And you can't be what you can't see. So our younger generation, my children, your children, are not looking at female politicians and taking them for granted. They're looking and seeing a sea of politicians being dominated by male figures. And really, you know, as in everything, if you can't see something, then you don't aspire to being that something. So mm-hmm. we absolutely need role models. And what we need is a conversation about the value of female representation, because all of the other things of displacing our male colleagues and, you know, confidence and childcare and cash and culture and misogyny and hate speech, all of those barriers, you know, are there. We have to deal with them. But what we really need to do is to talk about the value of female representation at every table, at every level in the country.
Okay.
And if we recognise that, Cormac, well, then we will positively discriminate to change the percentages that we have at the moment.
I'm going to possibly make myself a hate figure here, but let me be devil's advocate, Regina, for just a second. When you look at the amount of crises, real crises that we have in this country now, from housing to homelessness, to the state of our health service, to the lack of employment opportunities up and down the country. What we really need are people of real pedigree and calibre and intellect and proactivity to go and get on the ticket. It doesn't matter what gender they are.
And all of those characteristics that you've just described exist in our female population in spades, Cormac.
But we need the best candidate, notwithstanding what gender they are, surely.
You are absolutely right. And the best can come from the 51% of the female representation of the population in this country. They don't always have to be fellas.
Yeah, that's without question. But when you have gender quotas, and this is the argument for against gender quotas, isn't that right? That when you have gender quotas, you don't always get the best candidate, or do you, in your opinion?
You see, I think that's, and I say this respectfully to you, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a misnomer of an argument. For years, the argument is that if we just put women on the ticket because they're women, that we might get mediocre candidates or we might get mediocre politicians. Well, we've had mediocre politicians for the 100 years of our state, from all parties and from none. And that doesn't, you know, it's nothing to do with the fact that whether they're female or male. Mm. We know 51% of the population of this country are women, and they are not represented at the decision-making tables. They need to be, for all of the fantastic reasons of the attributes that a woman can bring to the table, her empathy, her emotional intelligence, you know, to talk about cohesive policies and all of the areas that we have difficulties in this country, in housing and health, education, childcare. All of those issues can be resolved by the positive attributes that women can bring to the decision-making table. And so often we'd have examples of where the woman's voice has been hugely absent and we have got mediocre or less effective policy making.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is that organically the rise of females in politician hasn't worked. And yes, it's not nice. We don't want it. We wish we didn't have to do it. But if we genuinely do realise the value of female decision making in the process, you know, and representation, well, then we need to positively discriminate at the table to make sure that we get those female voices heard.
Okay. And that's my job done as devil's advocate on that one. Can I return to you, Katrina, for just a second? Because you mentioned online abuse. Now, everybody in public life will say, yeah, of course, I get abused online. I get called names and so on. But it's particularly bad, by all accounts, for women, and especially women in politics. Isn't that right?
It is exceptionally bad, Cormac. And there was research done in NUI Galway last year, and I think over 90% of female politicians who responded had experienced some form of harassment online when they were running for election or being politicians. And from what I can understand, in terms of engaging with politicians and in our research, the nature of the abuse is quite vile. And it, you know, I would categorise it as illegal on many counts, and it really needs to be tackled. And I suppose it's important to understand online is critical for all of us now. I mean, I'm speaking to you from my new home office in the west of Ireland because of what we're living in, and to further put a barrier up, particularly for female politicians, because the online space isn't safe. And we're seeing particularly very gross attacks on women from ethnic minorities and migrant communities. And we just have to do something to tackle that, because we do need more women in politics for all of the reasons that Regina has just described, and more, because it's well proven, the case is well made across many sectors now, that diversity is better for everyone.
Yeah, how bad is it? Online abuse for women in politics, in your opinion, Regina, for you and talking to your colleagues in Leinster House? Is Regina there? We've lost Regina for just a second, but I will ask you, Katrina, about the obstacles. In one way, and some people are texting this, if we know what the obstacles are, why not just simply remove them and open the doors to women in politics? Is it as simple as that?
Well, I'd love to be retiring very soon, Cormac, and I wish that it was that. It is actually, some areas are complex. I mean, one of the challenges we have is that because of our poor history in Ireland, 100 years, and we had very few women elected. Like in 1992, there was 20 women sitting in the Dáil. In 2021, there's 36. That's the level of progress we've made. And because of that, there has been a history of incumbent seats gain you advantage when you go for election. There's no doubt about that. And for there to be real change, and we're going to have to see male politicians starting to share the space and take brave moves and look around.
What does that mean when you say share the space and make brave moves? What does that mean
exactly?
Well,
I suppose even very simple examples in our research of where women were selected to potentially winning seats. They didn't get the support on the ground from their party because the interests were with the person that didn't get selected. So like, that's just not good enough in 2021. It's not good enough ever. And those are the kind of examples. But I mean, we actually need, it's not just about some luxury around gender equality is great for us feminists. Mm-hmm. Gender equality is critical for life.
And for society.
And for society.
Yeah, and we'll come back to that in just one moment. But on the online abuse, I think Regina's back with us. How bad is it in your personal experience, Regina?
Sorry, Cormac, I don't know what happened But all politicians get abuse online, which isn't acceptable. But there is the added edge to female politicians having to take all of the sexist abuse, the misogyny, the threats against you because you have certain parts of your body that our male counterparts don't have. Like, our male politicians don't have to put up with that. They don't have to put up with personal commentary all of the time about the sound of your voice, the colour of your hair, you know, the colour of your skin, how big or small you are. You know, none of that gets associated with the abuse that male politicians get. But actually, we have a rise of hate speech in this country. We have a rise of disinformation in this country. All of that needs to be tackled. But we have the extra, I suppose, that's the addition to the list of issues and barriers to women in politics, or women even being encouraged to go into politics. And it's lovely to hear Katrina say that all of the women that she had interviewed for both the local and the general elections last year had in the main a positive experience and that they would do it again, because we need people not to give up. Okay. You know, it's no harm in failing, but make sure you pick yourself up, put yourself before the electorate again, because it's probably one of the highest roles of public service that a woman or a man can do.
Let me throw in a grenade between the two of you before we finish. I wonder, Katrina, do you blame Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, who've been in power for so long in this country, for this scenario that we're in, so few female politicians? Do you blame the two parties of power as they have been in Irish history?
Well, Cormac, Women for Election are proudly non-partisan, and we've really but let me finish, and just to say that there's been 100 years of very poor opportunities for women in Ireland generally, and we've really dropped the ball in this area. Yes, the established parties have a bigger challenge because they're established, and we would like to see more proactive engagement from them. And I was delighted today to hear from Minister Burke, who is from the Fine Gael party, put down his commitment to really make a difference in his term in terms of his role in local government. Okay. And we hope he honours that.
Look, Regina, my mischief-making didn't work there. But let me read you some text before we finish. Mia says, "Oh my God, the reason we're in such a mess in this country is because men have been in charge so long. Give up the reins, lads," says Mia. A texter says, "Mary Lou MacDonald is a great advocate for women in politics. Shame she isn't on the show. She is so confident and she truly leads the men in her party, which you don't see in other parties," says one listener. Dara, who says, "Mr. Dara, Cormac, the point of getting women represented in decision making is because the wider perspective results in better decisions. It's not about political correctness or, inverted commas, giving the girlies a chance," says Dara.
Hear, Dara.
One more
from
a listener says, "Cormac, why do we have all these issues you listed? Unemployment, housing, etc. Because we've had a majority of men ruling for the last 100 years. Look, we will leave it
change
at that.
Change is coming, Cormac. You can hear it.
There's a chastened answer, Cormac.
Cormac O'Hara. We'll leave it there. Muíochas la Katrina Gleason, CEO of Women for Election, and Regina Doherty of Fine Gael.